At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo! Well, hello there. What's everyone doing?
Hi.
Should I do the announcer voice?
No, that was a good one-time only thing.
A one-time only thing?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Pew Talk Podcast.
Apparently that's a two-time only thing.
Yeah. Well, Gerber told me not to do it, so therefore I must.
I feel like there's words in the Bible about that.
What, following your pastor?
No, following God's commands. I commanded you from God as a called and ordained servant of Christ. I believe that's somewhat overstepping.
Abusing the power.
Yep. Don't listen to that comment, y'all. Scratch that. Deleted.
Well, you know, he told me, "Thou shall not do announcer voice." Is that what it is?
Something like that. Yeah, it was written in tablets, but now I would have had to smash them on the ground.
The 15 commandments. Yeah. Oh, I mean,
the 10 commandments.
So, commandment 11 through 5 is talking about not doing announcements. And
I'm sure.
Yeah, yep. I'm sure that's it. Hi, everyone. How is everyone? Hey, by the way, Lacey's out today. She's doing work.
Volleyball concessioning.
That sounds like work.
It's our
go
home,
team.
It's our home volleyball kickoff, and there's a lot of games, and her help was needed.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so, because my mom is in town, I said, "Hey, you're going to be on a podcast."
Hi, mom.
And I said, "I'd love to do it."
You're a good sport.
Yeah. Well, you know, I figured you would just come on and just be part of the team, just like that.
Just like that.
Plus, we're talking about husbands and wives, and you're in 50th year this year, aren't you?
Right. November 6th, we will be 50 years.
Yeah. So I figured that is a lot longer than ours.
I think you just wanted someone who said things non-Nebraskan on the podcast with you.
Probably. Yes.
Right. But we decided we were not going to mention the state I came from.
I didn't mention the state you came from. I just...
So, how was your trip to Nebraska so far?
It's pretty good so far. Having a good time with my grandchildren.
Yeah.
Talking to my son a lot.
No. I try to go to work today to get away from her, but...
You came home halfway
through. Oh, he missed you.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Aww. How long are you here?
Until Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay, well, you say Thursday, but it's really like Wednesday morning. Wednesday late, because she's leaving like 6 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, which means I had to get up like 4 o'clock in the morning just to drive her butt over to the airport and then come back and take a nap and then go to work.
So you're not working out?
No, Robert's canceled Thursday.
Oh, that's right, for this week. That's true.
Yeah, I guess he's a slacker. Yeah, you know. So anyways, how's God messing with you this week?
My foot hurts. I felt out of the club this last week, but I'm not a lady, so I don't know if I should be in the foot hurting club, but I joined it this week. It was fun.
A year of hurting feet.
I have a hurting foot.
Look at that boot. Oh, wait.
Okay, so Mom, just to fill you in, Lacey... She had a boot, and then Stacey got a boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I don't know what Gerber's a boot, but he's not from Canada.
Nope.
What's that a boot? My mom's like, "What is happening?"
I thought we were going to talk about Jesus.
Okay. We'll get there. We'll get there. So
we always eventually get there.
Yeah. So if you want to comment and be part of the conversation, please do.
Yeah.
Also, say hi to my mom. So there you go.
If you have questions, great time to ask it.
Yeah. If you have questions, please ask, because
fun topic.
We're going to be talking about how wives should submit. Mm-hmm. Right, Mom?
Of course.
So, Casey, how's your life?
It's a bit hectic, but it's good. A lot of trying to get a lot of things off the ground, education-wise, at the church.
Yeah, because it's week two, three, two.
Third, fourth-ish? I lost count.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's basically been there forever now.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
And that means I can't leave. I've been here 3 weeks, so I can't leave now.
Yeah.
Never.
Hey, did we get a comment?
Yeah.
Right oh, there. Boy. It's from me. Hi. You said to say hi.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Stacey, how's your
get
foot?
The commenting going. It feels really good.
When can you lose the boot?
He told me to wear it for a month, which will be Saturday.
Saturday.
But and then go to real shoes and see how it feels. So I'm trying to.
When are you gonna start jogging again?
I don't jog. But I will go back to jazzercise. I actually have been. I've just been limiting my skipping, my dancing.
You're skipping.
I limit my dancing all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing.
Don't do that.
Yeah. It's a very good thing on my part.
The crowd's rejoiced.
Yeah.
I think I have my sound for that.
Be awkward.
There it is. Yay.
You got to embrace the awkward with your dancing.
Yeah, that's true.
I embrace it. No one else wants to, and I don't blame them. As I tell the youth, I got moves and they're all bad.
There you go.
All right. So today we are talking about marriage.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
Oh, here's another comment from Stephanie.
She's not in this
room. She's not.
She had volleyball?
Yeah.
She was.
Well, when does the game get over? Whenever it gets over?
Yeah.
All right. If you're watching volleyball and us at the same time, I applaud you.
And if you'd give us score updates so that everyone could know, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
There you go.
Because that would be right in the middle of the conversation. But,
right.
By the way.
And now a score update from
breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, you got to get one of those. Yeah.
Well, we would need more comments for that.
Okay. All right, Stacy, you're going to read us. Just jump right in with verse 22.
Oh, yeah. I brought my ESV Bible today, everyone, and it's very small print, so I'll do my best to read it. I'm going, 22 to 33, right?
Just finish out the chapter, yep.
All right, Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husband, in everything. To their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
All right.
So far, the text.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I almost said it. If it's the Lord.
Oh, by the way, I don't know what's happening to this podcast, but we brought on an Episcopalian to this podcast. So,
Do y'all have pews?
Yeah,
in your church? Yeah, I figure most Episcopal churches do, but I didn't know if can we bring someone on that doesn't
have a pew
in their church. I mean, I think
we are
pew talk.
Sitting
so
on
that's
the couches and chairs in your studio for pew talk.
For pew talk.
There's a spare pew that used to be in the youth room that's now in storage. Yeah, that's available.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. You know how heavy that thing is?
It's very,
very.
It's actually,
and I don't.
They had to split it in two to get it out of the youth room.
Well, I bet, because I don't even think it would fit in my studio.
Anyways. No, it would not.
Along there it would.
Yeah.
Or along here. Started in the pew, but.
Probably better to do it along the side of the wall that's not the door.
Yeah. I think it'd be entertaining to see something. Just to see someone go across.
Yeah, but see, you guys mistakenly thought that this was because we have a church pew. We actually talked about having Star Wars sounds. Pew, 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 pew,
oh,
pew,
okay.
Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew.
I don't think the pew goes with the decor.
No, you're right.
Well,
there are Star Wars back there, right?
It didn't in the youth room either, just no. FYI.
Well, see, in Boston, we have the Church of Red Sox, so, you know.
Yep.
It's just like in Nebraska, the Church of Huskers.
I feel like we're avoiding the topic of what we were going to talk about today.
What? Husbands and wives?
Husbands and wives.
God said it in the Bible. He said it better than we're going to say it, you know?
All right. Well, let's just go. Let's just tear off the Band-Aid and let's just go for it. Stacy, what's your view on this?
Yes, Stacy. Look, I'm in your.
Oh, hi! You're
I'm
here.
In your spot now.
You have a very broad shoulder.
Very broad shoulder. Also, your arm is super long.
And then I like have an elbow patch or something in the middle of it.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, I think Pastor Gerber kind of talked about it a lot, but I mean, he didn't skirt around the issue. He's like, oh, yeah, guess what? The word in here that everybody dislikes is the word submit. So let's just start with that. Let's just
talk about submit.
Because when ultimately we're going to be going down another path, I have a feel. I have a feeling. Let me finish that word.
So, that word, it makes us tense when we hear the word submit. And I think the big reason for that is we all have probably pretty negative views of the word submit, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. But then again, I am looking at it from a biblical point of view because I've read a couple books and now I know everything.
Oh, okay. Paul's got his books. Paul's book smart, y'all.
Yeah.
I think typically we hear submit and we think control. You submit to me, I control you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I sometimes have trouble and I cringe when I hear that because I am the wife and I don't always want to submit. We're not very good at submitting, working on it.
But what does that mean to you?
Well, and that's what I was trying to wrap my head around today because submitting, I don't think in these passages, Paul is saying, wives, you're just going to do whatever your husbands tell you to do. It's not a relationship of control. There is he talks about husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. So there's a relationship there where the husband acknowledges what's good for his wife, what his wife prefers, and there's a give and take in that. So it's not I want you to do this and I don't care what you say, this is what's going to happen. There's a relationship in there as the husband is loving God and is modeling the relationship of authority from God over his life. He's an authority over his wife that same way. There's the give and take of I'm learning this from you and now I'm practicing this and now I'm teaching and guiding you this way and we're going to practice that together. And it's a fluid learning, growing relationship.
The end. All right.
The end. There you go.
Nice podcast. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah. I honestly, I could have had triple the length on my sermon this week. There just was so much studying that I did for this and so much that I ended up leaving out. And one of it, and I might bring this in because next week, if you've, again, one of the things that I've said a lot and maybe not so much on the podcast, but that this letter to the Ephesians was not meant to be written, not meant to be read in little chunks like we read it. It was meant to be read as a whole. And so if you take the end of 5 and the beginning for 10 verses or 9 verses of 6, it's wives and husbands, their relationship, it's children and parents, their relationship, and it's bond servants and masters and their relationship. And each of these relationships, there's an order. Again, we've said this, it's not a value. It's not of importance. It's not of worth. It's not of power. The intelligence, the value, or that there's an order of just for good order. Like that's a military term. And so like, but in each of these sections, it's actually the wives, the children, the bond servants who are the ones who are the valued ones, the valuable ones. And it's the husbands, it's the parents, it's the masters, who their call is to care for them, and to show them great worth and great love, and to almost put them in a place of honor, even by the way that they care for them. So yeah, this was never supposed to be, and Paul would cringe at the thought of that this would be taken in a dominance sort of way from the husbands, the parents, and the masters. But instead, this really should be it is a relationship. Now that changes a little bit when you get into bond servants and masters, but because that's a different kind of relationship. It's not a family relationship. It's a working relationship. But like it really is, should be when done right. It's the wives who are the valued ones and should never, ever feel as though that submission is a humiliation thing. But instead it should end up being a joyful and a valued thing.
Well, and of course, no analogy is perfect, but the idea, I love the image of the military order because you look at the upper levels of military ranking, the generals and things like that, they are considered unsuccessful. First off, if you lose, but part of losing is losing a lot of your soldiers underneath you, not providing for them. And along those lines of rank, one of the most disgraceful things that a captain of a ship can do is abandon his ship when it's in danger. All the other, if given an abandoned ship order, the underlings get to go first, and only the captain is permitted to leave last, sometimes if at all. So it's cowardly in positions of power to put yourself first. And that's the hard part of turning this upside down, is using power for selfish gain is not what we're doing here.
When did you think that the word submit definition of that shifted? Was it like that? Was the word submit as negatively used back in, say, when you originally got married?
I don't think so. When I got married, our minister used the word I'll try instead of I do. And by trying, it means that every day you get up and you retry. You keep working on it. I do is I'm doing right now, but I may not want to do tomorrow. So trying, it means you keep working, which means then that if you keep working at it, that you think of yourself as a partner and you work every day with your gifts and his gifts, or vice versa. And you try to do whatever you need together. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have good times and bad times. It just means that every day you keep trying. And I don't think that we thought of it as the negativist that they have now, because people weren't thinking the same way.
So you're saying when you got married, in the 40s. No, you were born in the 40s.
I don't think so. I think I was born in the 40s. No, we were married in
the 70s.
In the 70s. Early 70s.
So sometime between the 70s and now, the word submit became almost negative. So what do you think happened?
I think our society changed to be something of self-gain as opposed to looking out for each other. If you look at whether it's the news media, the TV shows, even our sports networks and the narratives of players that they choose to promote, it's all about making themselves better. It's all about promoting their brand. Whereas, of course, I didn't... Of anyone in this room, I definitely didn't live farther back, but of what I've seen in what I'll call classic movies or TV shows, it's a different idea. It's a lot more fighting for the common good as opposed to yourself.
I think it's becoming more selfish.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely more selfish. And everything is I. And I think in marriage, it the two I's hold up the we. And I don't think they hold now. I don't think the I's are holding up anything. And so if you have to submit, that means that what I want is more important than what you want, and what I think is right is always right.
Okay, and I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this. Because it's a question. It's a legitimate question. And I don't mean to take it. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm looking at my mom and Stacy. What do you think that the word submit started to shift when there was kind of a woman revolution? I mean, call it that. I don't know.
Radical feminism. Yeah.
I don't want to say radical because.
Well, but.
I think the initial feminist movement did have a place, and then it got taken over by radical feminism over late. I want to say it'll last. Probably 5 years has been really bad.
Yeah.
Do you think is that when it shifted? Because they basically said you shouldn't submit to your husband. How dare you? Kind of mentality.
That's probably part of it.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think that some women became very negative towards men in general. I mean, they don't want men to have any power over them, and they're looking at it all wrong. But that's the way they look at it.
Well, because I'm thinking of like the 1920s, they didn't have the right to vote and all that other stuff. That was moving in the right direction, and then something shifted. And I want to say probably in the 60s.
It was a little bit later. That had then maybe, but it was a little later, I think.
I mean, I wasn't alive then, so I don't know. Yeah.
Probably depended on where you live, too. Yeah. Like started, but before social media and all that to really...
It moved more organically. Earlier on the West Coast and then moved east.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering if that mentality I want to say the secular feminist movement then creeped into the whole mentality of how dare you submit me under this? Because it is really an attack on the Christian value of family.
Well, there's a whole attack on family now. I mean, society is saying family isn't important, you know, and then that you don't need husbands and wives together, and you don't need fathers around, and you don't need all this. And then they question what's happening to society.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you brought some of this up last week, Paul, but like, it's just become so part of our culture. Like, I mean, even the Berenstain Bears, like that is a very feminist book, because if you look at that, the and so many things in our culture, the husbands are bumbling dunderheads. They're a mess, and it's the mom who fixes it. But now it's even shifting towards the kids. Like, all the adults are idiots, and the kids are the ones that come and save them. But that really started to kind of shape things. Is, oh, the husband doesn't need to do anything because he's gonna mess it up anyway. So we'll wait till mom comes in and fixes it and takes care of everything, and because she's the real one that holds the house together.
Yeah. And it's very rare, especially in sitcoms, to see the male not be portrayed as an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, there's a mic there.
See, it's hard.
I mean, there are a handful of shows that will show that. I'm just talking about this depiction of and sitcoms is the one.
Comedy. If there's any sort of comedy, it's going to be at the husband's expense, the male's expense, typically.
I mean, and there is some level of comedy of playing off of the smart person combating with the dim-witted character. So there is a level of comedy to that shtick, but it's almost always the leading man of the household being portrayed as the dumb one.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, and I'm just trying to think, and maybe somebody's got an idea of one out there, but can you think of a show where that's flipped?
Where the wife is the dummy?
I don't think that would air. That would not air.
Well, because I'm thinking of certain shows like we Last Man Standing, and Tim Allen shows generally will have a strong male character, but his wife's not
an idiot, though.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know of any shows that I can think of. It's very few shows that have the male being not an idiot. And then I've never seen a show where the female is not an idiot. Because I know we can't say his name, but Bill Cosby's show back in the day, they were both.
Yeah, she was a doctor too.
Yeah.
She was.
I can think maybe Archie Bunker. But even him, he was an idiot.
Yeah, too. He was too.
You know, so.
I don't know.
You don't know Archie Bunker? Come on, it's before your time.
Come on.
I didn't even watch it. It was before my time. My mom might know it.
Yeah, I know it. But
yeah, I mean, that would, there's no network that would run with that show, because they'd be destroyed by the
powers that be.
Yeah.
Social media, the blue check marks of Twitter.
Yes. So, like, I mean, that's really, I think that kind of got it started. I shouldn't say that got it started, but that really helped get it into culture, is if we can continue to portray the women as the heads of the household.
Yeah.
And which is a flip of what God has said.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because in the sermon you talked about, and this is the part that really stuck to me, is that because of that, we as men have failed.
And we've abdicated. I don't think many men have then fought against that. And I'm going to say, I'm including myself in that at times. Like, there are times where I'm just like, well, Stacy can take care of it. But like, I do have great confidence in you. But men, we've abdicated that. And so women have, at times also, women have had to step into those roles. They've had to step up because we haven't. And so, like, for those women who are leading their household, continue to do that, and then try and give some things back to your husband to do, but to lead in that way. But
I was just reading a comment from Ellen Lunn.
Okay.
She was talking, going back to that feminism. And she was just like, the first wave of feminism was for a vote. Second wave was equal wages and equal work, equal opportunity. Third wave was free sex and abortion on demand. Fourth wave, men are evil and unnecessary.
Yeah.
And so it's almost, and her point is basically, is like, the first and the second waves was one thing, but the third and fourth wave, that as she called it, is a completely flip on what God's intent on that.
Yeah. And I agree. Thanks for putting those in that. Well, Ellen, those first two are, it was good for women to vote.
Well, I think that the women liked the first two, but all women liked the first two.
Yeah.
And then I think that they felt like they reached their goal and they were fine. And then I think that the third and fourth wave were stolen by
the radicals.
The radical group. And I think because we don't want to start a fight, or we want to be nice and caring and loving, I think we just said, we abdicated and said, you want to run with it, go ahead. And we didn't really realize as a group where it was going to go.
A group as Christians?
As Christians. I don't think we really realized that it would. I mean, and there's a lot of things that I think we've abdicated on, and both sexes have abdicated on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that we've just said, you know, It doesn't matter what it is, but we say, well, we don't want to mess things up. And then things will come around. But we forget that evil doesn't come around. Evil just keeps watching.
Perpetuating.
Mm-hmm. And so that it's just taken over and over. And now we're at a point of, are we going to be able to turn it around? Yeah. Will people really stand up and say, this is not right?
So, and that's an interesting point, because here we are talking about marriage, and we've not talked about marriage.
You know, yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
because we've talked about the evils of and how the word submit became, I'm going to use air quotes here, evil versus what it used to be designed for. What the original intent.
But don't they want us to submit to all kinds of other things?
Of course.
Why the word is bad, because you you submit to taking the vaccine. You submit to doing whatever else the government wants you to do.
All right, well, we're not getting political.
No, I don't mean that. I'm just
501c3, we need that.
I think the word submit has been thrown around for a lot of different things so that it's become even more negative than what it's meaning for marriage.
Well, and I think on top of that, the word submit in itself, anything that calls us to be less than the best, we're told is, or the top, I should say. Like, we have to be the top of everything. And to humble yourself and say, in this situation, I'm not number one, which in Christianity, we're never actually number one. God is. But the society will push on us the idea that, you know, any idea that you aren't the top dog in your situation is bad. And willingly giving up the top spot is weak. And weakness doesn't make for a strong society. So stop being weak. When in fact, I think the whole idea of submission comes from a position of strength as well. This was several months ago, but you brought up one of the reasons your favorite superhero is Clark Kent, not Superman, because Clark Kent has all the abilities in the world, but chooses not to use them at certain times. Yeah. And I think submission itself comes from a position of power, that even if I can do something, it might be in my best interest to not be number one in this situation.
Well, and that brings up the next point, is Jesus submitted to his parents and to his father. And so therefore, I guess... We were talking earlier about the man being the leader of the spiritual leader, but I use the word leader, and the way that I looked at it was, it's the same mentality as being a servant leader. You're there to be the bedrock of your family, to support mm-hmm. them as you're standing on the rock, air quotes.
Jesus.
But you're standing on the rock, but we're there to be, this is the reason why when I'm looking at spiritual leader as a husband and wife, husband and father, then I'm supporting them so they can grow and be who God intended them to be while I'm supporting them and I'm being supported. That makes sense?
I think so.
Yep.
But that is, I'm just wondering, because there is this movement that's basically saying, well, women, you shouldn't be supported by your husband. You should be able to take care of yourself and not.
I
don't need a man.
Right.
And men are evil because we have to submit to them. But really, when it comes down to it, it's like, no, you are independent. I'm here to support you. So therefore, you have a place to have, you have a foundation that you can grow from. And it's not a foundation of sand like we talked about. It's a foundation that is solid, that will not crumble because this is a little hint in life, you will fail at some point, you know.
Never.
So I guess the question is, you said that men are failing in this. What do we do, guys? How do we change that? I mean, right now, let's fix it.
Right now, just do it.
All world's problems.
It's my favorite. Just do it. Just do it.
What's going on here?
Yeah. I think part of it is realizing what our role is. And so it goes back to love your wives. Our language, love your wives in the way that they need to be loved, right? Our language is not often love. And I love the love and respect series, because men need to be told to love. Women don't need to be told to love. And that is their language. They speak in love. We speak in terms of respect. And so from women, we want respect, but that's not their language. They speak the language of love. So women are told to respect. And so we need to love our wives and in a way that draws them closer to Jesus. and draws them closer to who. So it's doing things that might be uncomfortable. One of the things that I started for it, like, we have not been great about praying together. It's, I can pray with anybody. It's awkward to pray with my wife. And it just, and then I do it and then I pray and then I'm like, that wasn't awkward. Never mind. I don't know why. But Satan loves to play on that insecurity of like, oh, she'll think you said it funny this time. You don't, just don't pray today. And you never do.
Very judgmental about prayer.
No, I know. And so like, that's, I mean, to lead that, praying together and reading God's word together and discussing how God's word impacts our lives together, to lead that, to be the one to seek that out and push for that, even when that might interfere with me watching football or some, you know, things that, or I'm tired and so I don't want to. But it's leading in those ways, giving up myself or Stacy, and for our kids, not in a way that, because I think there are a lot of men that are fine with that, a lot of that piece of it, but I think then it always leads to, so that I can get out of the relationship what I want out of the relationship. And to do all those things, not so that I can get what I want, but because that's what it means to be a husband and to love my wife.
I think also as men, you know, Ellen did a great job of breaking down the historical steps of feminism, but particularly that first and second wave she mentioned, there's a reason that women didn't have the right to vote and a say in politics is for a substantial portion of our nation's history and our world's history is because men abused their power, sometimes using these very verses. And when we look at what makes the word submit sometimes hard to swallow, it's not all the men who lived honorably by this code. We think of, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So when we think of bad leaders, you know, there might be only a handful of bad presidents or bad generals or, you know, insert power rank here, you know, bad this, but they're the ones we hear about. And historically, men have abused their power to hold it over women, and that's not right on any level. And so if there's any men listening who think that this means that you get to have a say over your wife's life, that's not at all what this is about, and that's not what these verses are for. So I think although relationships aren't built on what have you done for me lately, I think there's a side of it that what I tell myself is if I want the respect from Tara as my wife, I also need to have behavior that's worth respect as a leader. Like, would I want to follow what I was doing in that moment? Of course, I don't get 100% on that. There's times I need Jesus. Well, there's a lot of times I need Jesus just as much as anybody, but I want to look at myself as someone, am I worth respecting? Am I worth following as a leader? And likewise, am I abusing this idea of being the head of the household for my own personal gain?
So Gerber used an example of one aspect of being a spiritual leader, and you're talking about in the prayer life in that kind of way. But there is many different ways that a husband can be a spiritual leader in the home.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily just prayer.
Right. No, absolutely.
Or saying, kids get dressed because you're going to church today.
You know? Right.
I was talking to my mom earlier today because we kind of debriefed a little bit. The way that I look at it is that I look at myself as I'm the one picking up the weight that Lori can't. I'm talking about physical weight. I'm talking about there's some stuff that I feel like I'm there just to say, okay, I've got it. Let me take this burden or whatever. And especially when it's a heavy burden or whatever. That's the way I look at it. It's like when my kids need that or my wife needs that or whatever, then I pick that weight up. I hate using the weight because it's not a physical weight. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if every husband does that or not. And I'm you're fairly newly married.
Mm-hmm.
We're both in our second decade, mm-hmm. and then you're going on your fifth decade.
I'll be going on my sixth decade.
And so we brought up an interesting point, because when we have kids, it's one way. You don't have kids yet, and then the kids are gone. So how does that dynamic change over the centuries? Sorry, Mom. Yes. As your life progresses, because right now all our focus is, oh, well, we got the kids. I mean, there's other stuff, but it's really, if you really narrow it down, it's like, okay, we need to move the kids along, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that we're on the same, because we both have younger kids and we're just going to get them going. You don't have kids yet, and your kids are, well, me. And I'm growing up now and I'm out. And so.
Hopefully.
So how does that spiritual leadership as a husband change? I mean, how are you showing terror? Because right now I feel like I'm trying to carry weight because we have kids and all this other stuff.
But I don't think it entirely changes. I was talking to Paul earlier about my husband's not one to sit and pray with me. He's quiet. He won't do that. However,
over
the course of our relationship, I found that things would happen and he would give me the encouragement to do what I wanted to do. I was explaining to him that, for example, there was a healing course that I wanted to take. It was going to mean months of me going out of the house. And we had one car. Had to travel from Londonderry, New Hampshire, down to Malden. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. And my husband's like, you'll make it. We'll get you there. I'll take care of the kids. Everything will be fine. And that's the way he was on a lot of different things over the course of the time. And even when I went back to school, you know, everything. So that it's the ongoing encouragement. And I think that never changed over the time, over the decades. Because if I come in and say, I have this idea, I don't get negativity. I get, okay, let's see how we can do that. So it's the fact that you're encouraged and you're not told, don't do that because you don't really need to do that. You're a woman. What do you need to do it for? You know, it was like, you would like to do it and it should be done. You know, and I think that makes a big difference. And I think you grow into different things. And then you get some things you like to do together. So you do more of those like things as when the kids leave, so you don't have to pay for them. And, you know, so I think there's more things of that. And then as you get older, then you get physical things that prevent you from doing certain things. But then you can sit and talk because you have memories and you have things in common that you can talk about, you know.
And Casey, I mean, you're newly married, mm-hmm. no kids. So how do you show your spiritual leadership to your wife? Not to put you on the spot.
No, absolutely. Because that's something, because right now kids don't take up, aside from the ones we get to educate in our jobs, you know, they don't take up any of our time. The first thing I started, one of the things I made a personal goal for me is to make good habits now. Because if you don't have the habits when you have more free time, you'll never actually you'll go back to bad habits when Lord willing kids arrive in our life. I think the other side of it is, I love the Love and Respect series as well. We went through it and we still go through different books of it. My wife and I are both kind of independent people. And, you know, if anyone's met my wife, she is one of the sweetest people on earth, but also, you know, she will get things done and she'll find a way to get it done. You know, she's incredibly driven in that way. And I love that. So if there's like something, she, for example, one of her biggest priorities in her life is her class. Like she will do about anything for those kids that she is permitted to do. And there are times, you know, it comes up that she goes, I need to do something for this student. You know, they're not going to connect with the lesson unless I do this. And there have been times where to help her make sure she gets it done in time. So we've gone to the classroom to set something up 8 or 9 o'clock at night. You know, I think we've even done it on like a Saturday night when it came to mind because I'd be busy on Sunday. And that was how I supported her. I could have said, you know what, I'm tired. My big day is tomorrow. Being in church work, that's Sunday. I can't do this right now. But to her, to support her in that moment meant that, you know, she'll be better off to worship tomorrow if this isn't on her mind. So we're going to set up this part of the classroom while it's on her mind. It's about making that a lifestyle, and that starting those good habits did take some time. You know, it's not natural for us to think of others first. That's what sin has done to us. We're tricked into thinking us first. So it's if anyone's listening, if you don't have a habit of it, don't worry about all the things you have to get done to form this thing. Just think of one little step you can do each day.
It's funny about that, and this is
almost as if it were baby steps.
Well, what's funny is that you said we're making habits now, but I can tell you right now, once you have a kid, all those habits go out the window.
And that's why I'm trying to make them now. Maybe. Make them stronger.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking of the, we talked about women submitting to men. But we as men need to submit to God. Mm-hmm. And that is actually where you were saying that we were failing. right?
Yes, there and in the leading aspect, I think a lot of times we've just abdicated and let the wife lead because she's good at the house stuff, whatever that means. But yeah, we all fail in submitting our wills to God's will. I like doing things that I'd like to do rather than the things that might feel more awkward or the things that cause me to sacrifice me time or sacrifice my desires for God's will. And I think that's everybody.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And one of the things where I've seen specifically where I'm still learning with Stacy is one of the best ways that I can love her is by leaving her alone at times. Like that's really hard for me because there's so many times I'm like a little puppy and I just want to follow her around and just be like, hi, honey. Hi, how's it going? I love you. You're beautiful. Can I sit right here next to you?
Leave me alone.
And she is. And like, that's not loving to her because she's had kids around her doing the exact same thing. And she's not the extrovert who gets filled up with people interaction. So that drains her. And so one of the things that's really hard for me, but where I'm learning that I can better love her is by saying, okay, I'm going to sit over here on this side of the couch. You sit over on your side of the couch and we'll do different things together. And I'll have my person interaction by sitting near you. And that's hard.
Well, you know,
but it's good for you because you need that reset.
Yeah. You guys read Love Languages, I'm assuming, book.
Yeah.
Sometime.
A while ago.
Yeah.
But Lori and I read that a while ago. And I remember specifically when we do that little silly test at the end, the way that I show love and the way that Lori needs to receive it. Because I show love in acts of service.
So yeah.
I'll do these things for you. Therefore, I'm showing you love. And Lori's like, great. I need quality time. You know,
Stacy tells me that they change weekly. Her main three. It's definitely not physical touch or words of affirmation because those are mine. But like sometimes acts of service, sometimes acts of service is fantastic. And sometimes I do something and then I sit there and I wait and go, look what I did for you. And that's not what she needed.
Just a hard life to live with, really.
Well, and I forget if it was the same author or someone who knew the author of the Five Love Languages book. But Tara and I were engaged. We were reading a book about this, and sometimes not only is our love languages different, but we also have different ways we like to be shown love and how we like to communicate love, and those can actually be very different.
Yeah.
So, like my favorite way to receive love is quality time. Like I just like spending time with people, but the way I like to give love is words of affirmation. Like that's the first thing that I'm going to do. Yeah. But that doesn't really work. Like words of affirmation, that's like middle level for what I like to receive. So how we communicate both in and out are different as well.
Yeah.
And it's taking the effort to figure out that second level too.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Cause I my giving of love is,
acts of service. Yep.
But I don't want you to do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leave me alone. You know what I mean? I'll take care of me. You know what I mean? And so I'll do it for you, but then don't do them. But I mean, I'm kind of like Gerber. I'm more of an affirmation guy and physical touch than versus all the other stuff. Now, Lori would rather have quality time.
Male thing.
Yeah, but I mean, Lori wanted having quality time, and me showing her love through acts of service doesn't help.
Right.
Doesn't fill her love tank.
That's what they should fill the tank. So it is something. You're talking about marriage being work. It's like, I actually got to spend time with her.
But I think that sometimes over the decades, I think that some of the things you need can change.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and that, so he talks about that in the book.
You need to pay attention to your partner.
No.
And you need to listen.
What?
Yeah.
Listen.
Listen. You need to listen.
Now that kids are back in school, that's changing for you a little bit because you haven't had, I mean, for 18 months, and yes, kids were in school last year, but like these last 18 months, you've had a lot of more child attention, more people attention on you. And now that three kids are in full time and one half time, and you've been able to rest and relax at home by yourself, then there is more time at night when you're not like,
leave me alone.
Yeah, when you're not in the leave me alone mood.
Well, and that's the thing is that as kids grow, because we were talking about that, as suddenly when you're 17, 18, you don't see them. They're off doing, they're on college maybe, they're doing their own thing. You're just hoping, I hope I raised you so you're not a jerk, but have fun. You know, right now we are in the age of
trenches.
We're trying to make sure that they don't don't eat their own boogers kind of thing, you know?
Instilling habits now versus later you're seeing how did this all.
Hopefully they have together. It stuck, but personalities, yeah, fun. But again, that still comes down to loving your wives and loving. And it's interesting that we brought that up because it's every individual is going to be different. How Gerber is going to love you is different than how I'm going to love Lori and how dad loved you and how you love Tara, because you're each individual people and you all have your own little, we all have our own little quirks, but as men, it's not a one size fit all. I can't just go, well,
this is what it looks like.
All women want quality time. Well, yeah, clearly not. You know?
I do like spending time with people. I do like spending time with you.
Yeah, but it doesn't fill your bucket.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Sometimes.
It depends on your...
It's not the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Here's what I sent him not long ago, because it was exactly quality time spent on me, not necessarily with me. So like...
So I'm like, oh, acts of service. Well, no, not really. Like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, I washed your car today. Kind of acts of service,
Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, I'm complicated.
Well, you're a woman, so...
Yeah.
Ta-da! Women are complicated.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that Lori will give me a honey-do list. And I've been calling it the Hydra 100, because every time I get one off, three more come up.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, she's clearly getting her bucket filled because I'm doing all these things all the time. And I'm like, but it's not.
No. Like I remember when I did when I redid the basement and you're like, but I just wanted to spend time with you. But I thought you wanted me to finish the basement.
I was trying to paint with you and you said, nope, I'll do it.
Oh, that's because you do it.
There was your quality time right there.
Well, I let Lori paint. And that is actually,
we had a paint sprayer though. So I was like, I want to do this.
I wasn't doing it.
No. Lori won't let me near paint. And that actually is another thing we talked about is that your strengths and your strengths might not be the same. And Mama actually was talking about, oh, I think God puts these people who are complete opposites together, so therefore they kind of make a whole person. You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's...
I do believe that. I do believe that we each have our own gifts. Mm-hmm. And I think that God puts us together so that our gifts fill the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so some people think that they have to all be alike. But I think that people who are alike have friction because they're just too alike. Yeah. And I think that you need to be able to have different things, and then you bring all that together and it just blooms.
Yeah. The number of premarital counseling sessions I've done would agree with that. I mean, I always, when I talk to people, couples, they're always very different, but they complement each other. And those are some of the ones where, you know, yep, that's going to be good. But like when, you know, as we're talking about, and we really haven't talked too much about this, but it made me think of like male and female roles. Like this conversation here doesn't mean that every male role has to look like every other male role. Every female role has to look like every other female role. Stacey and I, like one of the things that I don't love to do, but I do because you don't and you can't because sensitive, is I do the dishes every night. Ish. I do the dishes.
Ish. Do you say ish?
Ish. I don't do them every night, but I do the dishes. Sometimes I'm
the dishwasher.
I'm the dishwasher. And that, like, that's a way that even though I really have no joy in doing that, it's a way that I can love Stacey. Now,
is it joy a soup? A soap?
Yeah. But we use Dawn.
Oh, all right. Well, that's why you have no joy in it.
Right. There it is.
He's very particular about it.
Don't give me any of that Aldi junk.
It's Aldi.
Whatever, the non-name brand
use
stuff.
The, I need Young Living.
Oh, that's the like worst.
That oh, we have all
it
kinds.
It doesn't bubble.
It's the hippie stuff. It's
so,
all right.
So, but like, that doesn't mean that every husband should love your wife by doing the dishes. There's some wives who love doing the dishes. We were just talking about cooking today. Like, I really enjoy cooking, and that might be something I can do more to take. But you also enjoy the process of cooking. Like, it's relaxing for you and soothing for you. And so
I just want to eat. That's why I mean,
you just want to get to the end product. Yeah, you don't care about the process.
I just want to eat it. Yeah. I don't want to.
He likes the process.
Yeah. I do. I like it. Yeah, but cooking. I make a mess. And so it's not only I'm taking one of the stress relievers away, but I'm also making a mess. And so I'm taking a stress reliever away and adding a stress stressor while I'm cooking. So that's why I do it at 6 a.m. out on a Saturday morning. And then you go and break your toe.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Well, one of the things that, and I'm looking working at the time. I'm hesitant to bring this up because I know this will add on another 5 minutes or so.
We got to get our kid from football eventually.
Okay, eventually. That's a good word.
Okay. He'll get better if he gets more time at drills.
But I think it would behoove be bad if we don't at least acknowledge the fact that there are times, because we're talking about a Christian marriage here.
Yes.
So what happens if you have a marriage that neither one of them believe, or there's a believer and then non-believer?
So I don't feel like I can speak to a marriage where there are two non-believers. I just don't feel like I can speak to that, because we're going to be starting on very different ground.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to me individually, let's talk.
that's a good point. Yeah.
But it's really hard when there's unequal, what Jesus would call being unequally yoked. Those are some of the conversations in premarital counseling that I have before. That's one of the first conversations I have is, okay, you got to figure out what this is going to look like, because this is going to be one of the things that's going to cause the most difficulty in your relationship is especially as kids come in. What do we baptize? Don't we baptize? Do we go to church? Don't we go to church? When do we let the kids decide if they want to, but there, I know, like, you can't change that. Don't like, oh, my spouse isn't a believer, let's get a divorce. No, don't do that. It comes down to then sometimes. So if the husband is the one who's not the believer, that's when the wife needs to become that spiritual head of the household. Honestly, it becomes almost like a faith single parenting type thing. So there's more responsibility then for that believing spouse, whoever it is. A lot of these are just easier conversations to have one-on-one. Than to speak
generally.
Because I think that though, even without your spouse being on the same page as you are in faith, that I think these are still valid. Wives, submit to your husband. If he's asking you to do something that's against God, that might be an issue where you give a little, you can't compromise that. Mm-hmm. But within the marriage, both the husband and wife are still looking to God for direction. So as a wife whose husband doesn't believe, I am still following God and his law. I am still being the wife to my husband that allows him to lead the home, but also trying to show him my faith by what I do, right? I mean, there's the verse.
I do believe, though, by the way, just so we're clear.
I know you do.
Are we sure? As a pastor that he believes?
Yes, he does. But as a husband, if you had a wife who didn't believe, you would still be leading her in a walk, encouraging her to walk with God by what you do, by how you talk with your children, by how you treat your wife and respect her. That I think we're always trying to point our spouse to God and love them as God has loved the church.
And that even these,
and pray for them always, right? Because in scripture too, it says, love them that even the unbeliever may come to know him. I mean, that can happen in marriage. It's not recommended to be married to a non-believer, but sometimes your love and your commitment does lead them eventually to Christ.
Well, a lot of time these situations come up when they both get married as non-believers, and then something happens, whether it's friends that they get connected to, or a lot of times, again, it's a kid that like, oh, I grew up in the church, but I really didn't. Oh, now I got a kid. Oh, now this is starting to, there's a little more.
The rubber hits the road.
Yeah. So prayer. Thank you. Because that's where you start, and it's constant daily prayer. But one of the things that we're going to look at in Ephesians 6 is just that reminder that your fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. So it can be very easy to get to a point where you are angry with your spouse, or the fight becomes not the fight starts to become against the spouse. That's not the fight. The fight is against Satan, who is continuing to deceive your spouse. And so coming at them angrily, or like I said earlier, divorcing because your spouse doesn't believe, only means that the devil wins.
And it's a driving driving, it could be a driving force that instead of drawing them to faith, puts the iron in place that they will never come to faith.
Yeah. So now, again, a lot of these situations and just everything that we've talked about, okay, you want to talk to people individually.
And everybody, as we've talked about, every marriage is different.
Right.
Every individual is different.
Yeah.
This is generalities.
Yes.
That we're talking right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to close it up, because we talk about how to put this into practice. For guys out there who are looking to just for some books, just to get your head around what it means to be a spiritual leader and what it means to be the man and father of children or dragons,
yep.
One of the two, I don't know. There's two books that I've been reading. One of them I've read a couple times. One of them I'm currently reading, and I read 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't know. One of them is called The Kingdom Man by Tony Evans, mm-hmm. and the other one is The Man in the Mirror. I've just started reading this. It's really good too. But these kind of lay down what it really means, and they have a good grasp on what it really means to be a spiritual leader in the home, and how to love your wife, and how to not be the guy who says, "Hey, you're submitting to me, so therefore, you should wash my feet." Yeah. Well, actually, and that's another thing too, which is actually a very good point. We should probably wash our wife's feet. Not, I mean,
her toe. I offered a massage yesterday, but I was worried about hurting her toe.
I mean, you can take that as metaphor as you want,
right.
Or you can like literally do it.
Yeah.
But because that is actually a submissive move in itself to be able to say, "I'm going to wash your feet and make sure that you're." We used to have a saying back in it. This is Ed's saying, and wash somebody's feet every day, not literally, yeah. but
right.
to be serve them
yep. in a way that might be considered humiliating, but
yep.
is necessary yep. or needed for that person.
And so, if you wash your wife's feet every day, then she will know that you have her,
yeah.
you know, that you got this.
Yeah. So, men, I think those are two great options. Spouses, if you're looking for something that can kind of help just lead some conversations in your families, there are two video series that I really like. There's one, Visionary Marriage. There's also Visionary Parenting. I've started using Preparing for a Visionary Marriage for my premarital counseling. If you are connected to Trinity, which if you're listening to this, you're probably connected in somehow. Even close enough that you listen to the podcast, that's a connection. We can get you free access to those streaming. But I've found those to be very helpful for different conversations. You had your book out for a long time. You didn't read it. Okay.
Well, my devotion yesterday, and maybe this can be our closing thought, but it's the Jesus Calling devotional that I've read before. And so it's basically taking scripture and then kind of implying God's word in it.
So it's Jesus speaking to you.
Speaking the words. And it says, "Do everything in dependence on me. The desire to act independently apart from me springs from the root of pride. Self-sufficiency is subtle, insinuating its way into your thoughts and actions without your realizing it. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That is, nothing of eternal value. Use your freedom wisely by relying on me constantly. Thus you enjoy my presence and my peace." And as I was reading that yesterday, I was thinking, you know, this is true for marriage too. The dependence on one another. And when we're living out this Ephesians 5 relationship with husband and wife and with the Lord, we have that dependence on each other that does lead us to presence and enjoyment and peace with one another too. So it's not this dependent, "I can't survive without you," but it's a, we help each other, we work together, and we enjoy complete each other, but we work together. And
yeah. But the two become one. I mean, that's the phrase from Ephesians 5 that people actually still want in their weddings. That a husband would leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two would become one flesh. It's the one verse that people still want in their weddings from Ephesians 5. Not too many
so
want
that
wives.
Give and take.
Yeah.
We are together. We're in this. We're dependent on one another because we're committed to one another in relationship.
I think the closing thought that summed it up for me, thinking some of back on Tara and I's premarital counseling, the expression that was used, because there will be times all of us as human beings will disagree with our spouses. We're two human beings with two different approaches on the world. If you're looking to win a situation against your spouse, you have already lost. You only win when you're fighting for each other.
Yeah. Again, going back to unmute yourself.
Okay, say that again.
When you're trying to win in a situation against your spouse, you've already lost. You only win when you're working together for your marriage.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking of you two playing golf. I don't know.
It was a scramble. We were together.
We were together, yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Were we against each other?
No. Hope not. Otherwise, we were playing the scramble wrong. So, all right.
Well, it was a good. Hey, Mom, so what did you think, Mom? Did you have fun?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I always enjoy things like this.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, you should listen more often. I'll make sure your phone automatically downloads our podcast weekly.
There you go.
Okay. That's a good idea.
And then she can listen to our wonderful voices and go, yeah. I was on that show. I was once a guest. Know them.
Yes.
Put it on your resume.
Boom. Okay.
It'll get you on all the podcasts, all the premier podcasts in the area.
There you go.
Okay.
Who's all praying? Right. Anybody want to pray? All right, Casey, go for it.
Gracious God, thank you so much for the gift of marriage. Oftentimes we either forget to thank you or Satan tricks us into thinking it's a burden, but you designed it to be anything but. Lord, each of us has been called into different roles in our lives and in our marriages. Lord, when we are tempted to look down on those roles or even defy them, remind us that your design for life is perfect and that you truly do know what's best for us, and help us to all submit to your will so that it may be that we have the best life that you could design for us. And Lord, when we fail, give us the strength to turn not only to those we have wronged, but to turn to you and ask for forgiveness. Give us strength each day as we fight for our spouses and support them in whatever way they need. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Any announcements before we go?
Being challenge starts in 2 weeks, so if you need a book, come get a book.
And then if so ministry for children, youth, and families is going to be growing soon, so there is an informational meeting. If you haven't been involved and would like to get involved, and or just want to hear what ways you can plug yourself in, whether it's every week or maybe even just occasionally, there'll be a meeting after the late service at 11:45 on September 19th. So if you want to know what ways you can support our youth, our families, our children, and in particular, all of those areas will be growing. But one that we're really excited about growing is our middle school ministry, which we don't have too much of outside of confirmation. So if these areas interest you, attending this meeting doesn't sign you up for anything. All it is information and just seeing where you might plug in. And some of our roles do not involve getting involved every week. So, and plus, there will be free food.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
There it is. There done. It is.
Well, I just want to thank my mom for showing up for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it was fun. All right. Anything else going on? Stacey, hope your foot's better.
Thanks. Me too.
Me too. All right.
Maybe next week.
Should we say goodbye?
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate. We'll be right back.